I want to take this moment to say an extra special thank you to Douglas for letting me switch around the last two hymns, because the last one probably isn't the one that I want to, you know, follow standing here. So thank you, Douglas. I appreciate that. Heavenly Father, may the words that I've prepared and the words that I speak be glorious to you and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So the little spoiler alert from my children's time, I really do hope spring is on the way. I am tired of snow, I am tired of slush, and I am really, really tired of ice. It feels like I haven't seen the sun for days. Yesterday was gorgeous, today looks promising, but it feels like those days have been so few and far between. I think as Canadians, you know, we have a lot of fundamental rights we claim, and our right to complain about the weather is probably top on that list. And so I'm going to own that today. I do, however, hope there's enough rain this spring to give moisture to the planted crops, but not so much rain as to flood the fields or my basement, for that matter. I hope the summer is warm and pleasant, and I hope the fall doesn't come too quickly, and I really hope next winter isn't very harsh either. I can't do one single thing to push these hopes into action or reality for me, because apparently I can't control the weather. I have weather apps on my phone though, and I actually have several of them. In that small way, I think I can control my experience. I know which days will be rainy, which might be sunny, whether it might be cold or warm, based on whatever a number of forecasters have predicted. I trust them for the most part. I've often said that if I had to do it again, if I had to pick a different career, I'd probably go into meteorology. Meteorology is that one science where you can be wrong just as often as you are right, and people still look to you as an expert. So as I've thought about this message and what it might contain over the past several days, knowing that hope was going to be my central focus, one thought came to mind again and again. What a useless verb hope is. As an action, it feels apathetic at best. I hope it will be sunny. I hope my kids are safe and happy. I hope this message hits the mark. I hope those test results come back negative. In all of these cases, hope, on its own, doesn't accomplish a thing. When we just hope, with nothing else, it feels pretty helpless. It sort of feels like wishing. And I think of wishes like the little dandelion seeds that spring on the little sprigs of fluff that fly off into the wind when you blow on them. They go somewhere, but I don't know where. Hope is much like worrying. It gives you something to do, but alone, it doesn't accomplish much. So most of us, I'm going to assume, have a smartphone. My mom even has a smartphone, though I do happen to know she doesn't do much with it. Whether your phone is an Apple iPhone or some variation of an Android phone, you've put apps on it, I'm sure, and you rely on those apps. You can get apps to tell you what the weather's going to be like, update you in your stocks, convert currency and measurements. With the Google app, you can learn just about anything. Whether it's true or not is another story. Truth is, though, all the apps that we use, they have some sort of function, even if it's just mild amusement. But we have them because they do something for us. So I foolishly Googled ridiculous apps and was definitely surprised at the results, and this is where I started down the rabbit hole. There's an app which is called Nothing, and that's exactly what it is and what it does. Nothing. A white screen with the word written across it is what you get. Nothing. There's also one called iShave. No, doesn't somehow load a virtual razor or real razor on your phone, but once you launch it, a virtual razor shows up, and once you press the button, that virtual hair starts to fall. What does it actually accomplish? Nothing. Some of the apps that I ran across showed up as games. The next one on the list was called Milk the Cow, which is apparently what you're supposed to do. You try to virtually milk a cow and see how fast you can fill that bucket. I might have to load that one on my mother's phone. There was one called Hold, which is exactly what you're instructed to do. Hold the button on the phone for as long as you can. Not your phone button, but on the screen, with no expected result except a display on the timer, which shows just how long you held that button. Seems like time well spent. Then there was Send Me to Heaven, or SMTH, and this one showed up in a bunch of searches. And that one seemed pretty relevant, seeing as how I was doing this to prepare a sermon. Except that when I read on, it's a challenge to the user to see how high they can toss their phone into the air. And then you can share your accomplishment with others, assuming you caught your phone on the way back down. Once again, I think pretty pointless, unless you're trying to justify the purchase of a new phone, in which case, then I guess it's pretty good. There are lots of apps out there which give us something to do, but don't really have an actual purpose or an outcome. There apparently isn't an iHope app either, something that would turn my hope into reality. There are lots of things we hope for. Maybe you're hoping for a change at work or at school. Maybe you're hoping you'll make it through the week, stress-free and happy. You could be hoping for a fancy gift, or maybe you're hoping to win the lottery, hoping for a better life. The more I thought about it, the more that I felt that hope on its own wasn't useful at all. You've got to do something with it. Hope, though, can be so much more. When you pair hope with faith, you have everything you need. Faith, that's the real app here. To have faith in something is to put hope into action. Our reading today from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, sums it up perfectly. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. Verse 7 says, it was faith that made Noah hear God's warnings about the future that he could not see. He obeyed God and built a boat in which he and his family were saved. It must have been pretty difficult being Noah. God knew all of humanity was corrupt and evil. Well, everyone except Noah and his family. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 22, give an account of what God asked Noah to do. God said to Noah, I've decided to put an end to all people. I will destroy them completely because the world is full of their violent deeds. Build a boat for yourself out of good timber. Make rooms in it and cover it with tar inside and out. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for the boat and leave a space of 18 inches between the roof and the sides. Build it with three decks and put a door on the side. I'm going to send a flood on the earth to destroy every living being. Everything on the earth will die, but I will make a covenant with you. Go into the boat with your wife, your sons, and their wives. Take into the boat with you a male and a female of every kind of animal and every kind of bird in order to keep them alive. Take along all kinds of food for you and for them. Noah did everything that God commanded. Just pause for a moment and think about what just happened to Noah. Well, I'm certain he knew full well all the evil and vileness that was in the world at that time. I'm sure he couldn't imagine how it might get any better. Then God comes to Noah to tell him that he's going to get rid of everyone. Well, everyone except Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. So here's what you're going to do, he says. Build a boat, not just a fishing boat, but a really big boat. Make it strong and watertight. Build it with timbers. Build a bunch of rooms in it. Make it three levels high and include a big door on the side. Bring two of all the animals and birds and every living clean thing. Now, on a side note, he could have left mosquitoes and the black flies out, but whatever. Then God told Noah just what he was going to do. He was going to flood the earth and destroy everything on it. You and your family will be okay, though. Just trust me. Have hope. Have faith. Can you even imagine how you might have reacted? First of all, I would have definitely been concerned that my neighbors would have me committed just for building a ship in my backyard. For what? A flood? I'm sure it's going to rain that much that it will float that thing. That's what they might have said to Noah before returning to whatever violence or wickedness they had been engaged in. Yet Noah would have paid no attention to them. He just trusted God, had faith in him, and hoped for a better life eventually. It rained for 40 days. The water crept higher and higher until it was reportedly 25 feet above the highest mountain. Noah and his family kept floating along, certain of a better life they couldn't see yet. The water stayed at that height for 150 days. In light of that, I'm not going to complain about a wet spring anymore, though. Eventually, the water started to recede. The boat came to rest on the top of a mountain. They stayed there for another 40 days, and then sent out a raven to see if there would be some indication that the water was gone. There was no result, though, so Noah sent out a dove, but the water still covered the land, and so without a place to land, that dove just flew back to the boat. 7 days later, though, Noah tried again and sent the dove out one more time. What joy they must have felt when that dove returned with an olive branch in its beak. The tops of the trees must have been visible. Another week passes, and they send the dove out again, but this time it doesn't return, having found a place to land. Noah couldn't see what was going on, they were too high, but had to trust that the water was receding because the dove didn't come back. His hope had been realized. His faith in God's promise was now a reality. I'm certain those many months on board the boat were not fun-filled and joyous. However, it seems that Noah never lost hope, never lost his faith, knowing that a better life and sunny days were just around the corner. As I talked about earlier, it's this time of year I start to think about spring. I think about the new joy that it brings and the new life it brings. I don't have to do anything to bring spring here. I just need to wait and know that eventually the sun will warm the air, the ground will thaw, and beautiful sprigs of green will pop up on the trees and in the garden. It happens every year, and I don't doubt that it'll happen again this year. I think it's pretty difficult, though, sometimes to live in hope and faith, yet that's exactly what we as Christians are called to do. Too often, we put our faith in God only when all else seems to have failed. Perhaps we hope for something, but don't really believe it will come to pass. And when all other human options are exhausted, then we turn to faith, like a last resort. We need to walk the talk, as it were. It's one thing to sit and worship together on a Sunday morning, feeling certain about the presence of God, but how many times do we wake up on Monday morning, trusting on our own abilities alone, foolishly thinking it's all within our control? The first message I ever wrote and delivered was entitled Let God and Let Go. And I'm quite certain that was for me as much as it might have been for anybody else in the congregation that day. Living in hope and faith is giving it to God and letting Him deal with it first. My aunt posted a really neat message yesterday which seemed fitting. Prayer is not the spare wheel that you pull out in times of trouble, but it's a steering wheel that directs the right path throughout your life. Prayer is letting Jesus take the wheel and going along for the ride. We need to live in hope, in the hope knowing that regardless of what we're going through, whatever flood is facing us, we will come out on the other side safely and just as God has intended. While we didn't hear the whole chapter today, Hebrews chapter 11 is verse after verse of proof from thousands of years of people who were living in hope and walking in faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses all lived their lives with faith in God, in the hopes of promises they knew to be real, even though they might never live to see them. Faith is being sure of the things we hope for, certain about the things we cannot see. The last verse of our responsive reading provides the assurance we need. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "Those who hope in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak." Don't feel bad if you think it's hard to live in hope and to live in faith. Jesus' disciples had a hard time with it as well. Jesus repeatedly told them about how he would suffer, how he would be rejected, crucified, and left to die. Yet beyond all the suffering, he would be raised to life just 3 days later. How hard must it have been to listen to those forecasts and trust that in the face of suffering and death, life would win. I'm sure the disciples hoped it was true, but did they trust and live in faith about what Jesus had been telling them in fact would come to pass. How hopeless and helpless they must have felt that day when Jesus was crucified and buried. They had been following his teacher for 3 years, witnessing miracles and listening to his teachings. Yet here they were, witnessing the trial and conviction of their leader. I often think of Jesus' mother Mary when reflecting on this story. When he was crucified, his mother Mary, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene were standing nearby watching all of this take place. I'm sure their hearts were not filled with hope at that moment. I'm sure they were filled with sorrow, feeling helpless and hopeless. Their beloved rabbi was gone. It would be 3 days before their hope could be renewed and their faith realized. It might be easier to excuse their lack of hope or faith, but not ours. We know how the story ends. We know the stone was rolled away. We know the grave clothes were folded. And we know that Jesus lived. We can live our lives in hope, knowing that Jesus is at the wheel and his promises are fulfilled.